And the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God in you. Glory and honor, honor and glory be given to the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, now and unto the ages of all ages. Amen. Writing his epistle to Timothy, St. Paul says, "Bring Mark to me, for he is useful to me in the ministry. Bring Mark to me, for he is useful to me in the ministry." We are all immensely indebted to St. Mark, the founder of our church, and we are all proud sons and daughters of St. Mark, the founder of the Church of Alexandria, the mother church of all of Africa. And we pray tonight that the wonderful work that St. Mark has done in building up our church continues to grow and flourish, and our church has become a beautiful beacon of light to bring many, many people into the kingdom of God. Many people have carried the torch of the faith so beautifully, okay, and have inspired and motivated all of us up to the scene of the 21 martyrs of Libya that we saw on the 15th of February, and then only 2 weeks ago, on the 19th of April, the 30 Ethiopian martyrs also who gave up their life, okay, their blood, very precious, very similar to the blood of St. Mark, the founder of our church. No wonder it continues to be a church of martyrs. The topic that's been selected for tonight is as follows: the value and the significance of the intercessions of saints. This can be a little bit of a... I need to move around a bit, this confines me. This topic can be a little bit problematic and a bit difficult to deal with, the intercessions of saints. Let's get it right from the very beginning. Okay? Having this discussion within the body of Christ here in our Orthodox Church is very easy. But as you come into contact with our brothers and sisters who are Anglicans, Lutherans, Baptists, Assemblies of God, Uniting Church, Presbyterian, it becomes very difficult and becomes very super sensitive. Okay? But we respect all other Christian churches as something we need to do more as the Church of Alexandria. We really must respect other Christian churches and speak very highly about them, because truly we are one in Christ. There are a number of doctrinal barriers between us and other churches which you and I will not be able to resolve overnight. Okay? Many have attempted and many will continue to resolve. So, when it comes to the issue of the value of the intercessions of saints, what we want to say at the outset is this: we do not pray to saints. We do not pray to saints. But rather we ask, of course, this beautiful cloud of witness which surrounds us, as Paul writes in his Epistle to the Hebrews, to pray to Christ, to intercede Christ on our behalf. What I wanted to say here is, saints, whether they are martyrs or Asiatic saints, they are not sinless or infallible, but rather they've had a fair bit of mistakes in their lives, and they're very simple, ordinary people who have done quite extraordinary things, which has elevated them to the status of sainthood. That's the first point. Putting that aside, this is the heart of the very small message that I want to share with you. What I'm sharing with you is something very personal, and something which I have found of tremendous value and significance in confession and spiritual counseling generally. All right? And this is how I try to bridge the gap between myself also and my brothers and sisters of other denominations who find this topic absolutely unacceptable by several levels. So what I'm trying to say is this: when I'm speaking to people about the value and the significance of intercessions of saints, I am saying the following. When I have certain sins and mistakes that I wish to diagnose by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when I have certain aspirations and dreams and spiritual hopes that I would like to achieve by the power of the Holy Spirit, okay, we find it easy to seek the prayers and intercessions of these saints, whom the Lord has provided for us as beautiful models. I just go to the next slide. Okay. Just going to go through them very quickly. Sometimes, because of the nature of the world in which we live in, we become a little bit selfish and greedy. And when someone comes to me and says, I think I am just a very egocentric person, I often tell them, ask for help from someone like Amba Abraham, who was very generous and very giving towards the poor and the needy, and this will assist you to conquer the sin of selfishness and greed. And also with it, several verses such as, God loves a cheerful giver. And do not, God loves a cheerful giver. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So in other words, we rely, one, on the power of the Holy Spirit. Two, on the living word of God. And three, using examples of incredible saints, martyrs, who have walked in this path and were able to conquer certain things. Take, for example, obedience. It's extremely hard to be obedient today. We are all very opinionated. Extremely hard for us to bow our heads before Christ or before the living word of God. It's very hard. In the book of Acts, St. Peter says, we must obey God more than men. It's very hard to be obedient. Okay? Extremely hard. So to help me in the journey, I need the power of the Holy Spirit. We never deny that. And I also need the power of the Word of God. But I also got beautiful examples in someone like St. Mary, the Mother of God, who says to Archangel Gabriel, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word. And I say, St. Mary, the Mother of God, help me, assist me to be a little bit obedient. I can ask the help and assistance of someone like St. John the Dwarf to make me a little bit obedient. And of course, obedience has many, many blessings in it. Humility. It's very easy to talk about humility. Extremely hard to live it. I can stand here and give wonderful examples about humility and self-denial. Very hard to live it. Extremely hard. Requires enormous amount of grace poured from the Holy Spirit. Enormous amount of contemplating on the Word of God to be able to get a bit of an ounce of humility. And then I seek the help of certain remarkable men, although they were simple and ordinary in the beginning, who practiced this virtue and were able to accomplish it. That's what I do all the time. I say to someone, please, take St. Anthony with you or St. Macarius. And someone like St. Macarius the Great was a disciple of St. Anthony. Macarius the Great. The devils try to attack him on many fronts. And they even said to him, Macarius, you hardly eat because you fast a lot, and we are spirits, we do not eat. You spend many hours in prayer and contemplation, you hardly sleep, we do not sleep at all. So we've got very similar lines here. But there's one thing that you conquer us with, and that is your humility. Okay? And similarly, his spiritual father, St. Anthony the Great. So the value of intercessions of saints and the significance of them is that it enables us to conquer certain sins and lusts, and also it enables me to grow in virtue, to grow in faith, to grow in hope, to grow in love. purity. 1,000 years before the birth of Christ, David wrote, "Create a pure heart in me, O God, and put a new and loyal spirit within me." When Christ came, the first thing he said on the Sermon on the Mount is, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And then later on, Paul was to write, "Holiness without which no one will see God." In an age in which we are bombarded with so much pornography, so much promiscuity everywhere we go, a total violation of the meaning and value of sexuality completely, distorting our minds and our hearts, our conscience and our perceptions, and struggling to have a pure mind and a pure conscience and a pure heart, very hard, even when you're in a church, and even when you're on a church camp, purity becomes even hard, just as it does outside the walls of the church or outside of the walls of a church camp. We need the assistance and the aid of those who are able to conquer. Someone like St. Damiana, beautiful example. Someone like St. George, heroic young man who was able to, whilst in a prison cell, was able to convert the girl that they put up to seduce him by the power of the Spirit and certainly by the power of the Word of God. And the list goes on. Prayer, I'll skip prayer, leave that to others, but the sins of the tongue. The sins of the tongue are many. And I wish to share with you the following with sadness. Greatest sin that we have at the moment within our Coptic church, within our Coptic community, is the sin of gossip. We talk too much about one another behind one another's backs. This sin is a disaster within our churches, within our monasteries. It's ruined our monasteries and our convents. It's ruined our church community badly. Too much gossip. We talk too much. Gossip too much. And it's a deadly, poisonous sin, like the sin of adultery or murder or any other sin. When you have beautiful examples such as St. Arsenius, who knew when to speak and when to be silent, and I say this to people, ask St. Arsenius to pray to Christ on your behalf. Take him as a beautiful model of being very, very careful of what you say, because as Jesus said, by your words you're justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. And the good person out of the good treasure of his heart brings forward good things. And the evil person, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forward evil things. Mm-hmm. One has to be very, very careful what they say and what they communicate to others by way of social media as well. Because a lot of people have been hurt. Their lives have been ruined. Repentance is all we have no time for. The problem with the first speaker is that he can hijack the rest of the mouth of the other two speakers, which is not nice. No, they have to go away. They get it back from Father Paul to St. Paul. Submission. It's a devil submission. It sounds like a wonderful abstract Christian concept, to be submissive. To be submissive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, to be submissive to the Word of God, to be submissive to one's spiritual fathers and counselors. Have a look very briefly at the life of St. Paul. This will do him no justice, what I'm going to say. But for a person who is consistently submissive to the voice of Christ all the time, from the very beginning when he got turned upside down on the horse, turned right upside down, and he was blinded for 3 days. Thank you very much. And blinded for 3 days. And he turns around and he says to Christ, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" What a beautiful submission. What a beautiful prayer. "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And then begins the journeys and begins the work. Good? Spends 3 weeks at Thessaloniki, a year and a half in Corinth, a couple of months in Philippi, and gets pelted and bashed and in jail. Makes his way across into Athens gets ridiculed and in jail. How wonderful it is when a person is very submissive, okay? And the true submission says, Lord, what do you want me to do? So what I'm saying is this, through the different virtues and even the different mistakes of the saints, we can find value in their intercessions. And I say to people, not just to take the intercession of the saints when you're going to a job interview or going into an exam or when a person is seriously ill, but in your day-to-day life. For those of us who are in the workplace, and not just doctors, take the intercessions of Kuzman and Demian to be able to witness to Christ and for Christ and His church in your profession, particularly in your faithfulness. I say to people, don't take shortcuts, because when you do take shortcuts in the workplace, it can turn around and bite you. Okay? And we have seen this happen to so many people for years. Last point. A couple of years ago, we had the Feast of Pope Crollus fall on a Saturday. Feast of Pope Crollus, the 6th, fall on a Saturday. So we thought we'd have an all-night vigil on a Friday night, leading into a liturgy on Saturday morning. There you go, celebrating the Feast of the Man of Prayer. Cops are obsessed with him. They love him immensely. And you see his pictures everywhere. People love him so much. We thought, rather than talking about him, let's walk in his footsteps. Man who loved and experienced the power of prayer. So let us spend a couple of hours and march. The weather's still pretty good. It's not a cold night. And then finish off with a liturgy, which he loved. And part of the doxologies is intercessions of saints, the commemorations, in which he had a very wonderful relationship of with St. Mark, the founder of the church, with St. Nina and St. Samuel the Confessor, where he was the abbot of that monastery for years. And then we were surprised at the number of people who turned up were very, very few, from youth or servants or the congregation. And we said, this is really remarkable, because the best-selling books in the bookshops in Arabic and in English continue to be miracles of saints. So we've got to move away from this being obsessed with the miracles and being obsessed just with their life generally, but to be able to walk in their footsteps and emulate what they did. That's what counts. Okay? That's very important. And the stronger the relationship that I have with Christ and with the Holy Spirit and the intercessions of these saints, I feel that when our spirits depart from the body, get it, and it's flying up, we feel that the first people who are going to receive you are your very closest saints. I feel this. I feel when Pope Shenouda left this world on the 17th of March, one of the very first people to receive him would have been St. Anthony, with whom he had a very, very strong and very special friendship. I feel that when Pope Shenouda left, as Pope Crollus left on the 9th of March, 71, one of the first people to receive him would have been St. Nina. Question is, can you leave? Who will be one of the first standing at the gates of paradise to receive you? Because as Jesus said, he who honors you also honors me. We don't pray to saints. We will never pray to saints, of course. Ever. Okay? And we will be always Christ-focused, but together with the victorious church, united with the struggling church, we remain one undivided body of Christ between the heavenlies and the earth. To God be glory and honor and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you, Father Matt, for those beautiful words. For those people that just walked in, the theme of the evening is the value of the intercession of the saints. And Father Matt just talked us through about how each different aspect of our lives we should call upon a different saint, you know, to help us out. I think I speak on behalf of everyone in this room when I say that whenever we lose something, all of a sudden, number one, it becomes our best friend. and we call upon him and ask him to find it, and sometimes he provides with interest. I remember one time I lost $20 and I prayed to Abuelas, asked him to find this $20, knowing my mom would kill me if she found out I lost it. And that surely that same day I found $50 in my pocket. So I think it's beautiful when we can call upon each of these saints in different aspects of our lives to help us out. And the youth of our church put together a few videos just to help us better understand this concept. So we'll just play another one right across. Again, we'll invite our visiting priest, Father Paul, to just say a short word about the importance of and the value of the intercession of the saints in all our lives. So Father Paul, you can come to
you. Okay, so it's a very hard act to follow a video like that. Very, very funny. And also following Buddha Matthew. I mean, personally, I learned a lot from Buddha Matthew's talk, just how practical these lessons were in terms of emulating the life of saints. And when there's an issue in your life, emulating a saint that had the same issue in his life. And the only thing I'll add to that is our perception of the idea of intercession of saints is something that reflects our belief in God and our belief in heaven. Because a disease of our time is atheism. And it's something that has infiltrated the hearts of our children, us, ourselves. The idea of not believing, or at least if I believe, I won't believe that the superstitions of our church. Superstitions, you know, you see some tant who runs up to a buna and kisses his hand and insists on having the baraka at the end of the mass. In our generation, look at that and we think backward. How backward is that? How could they do something like that? As if they believe it means anything. The ideal of having the oil anointing them. As if that means anything. You know, when your mum insists, if she somehow gets the relics of a saint, she insists on putting it into your bed, or the saint's pictures underneath your pillow. Mum, just leave me alone. How backward are you? You know, and that's a disease of our time. And the idea of atheism starts with that. It starts with that, oh yes, I believe in God, but all this superstition stuff, I don't believe in. And so, us believing in the saints is a reflection of what we believe about heaven. Do we believe heaven exists? If heaven exists, then why shouldn't there be saints? Why shouldn't there be someone there who intercedes for me? Why shouldn't there be someone who suffered the way I've suffered and then covers my sins? In any code of work, you know, any field of work that you work in. For example, I was in medicine. Doctors always cover the mistakes of other doctors. You know, if a patient comes in complaining about a doctor, another doctor will say, well, no, that was justified, even if it wasn't. We protect each other. As children at home, we used to do the same for our brothers and cousins. We would protect each other. We would cover each other's sins. There was a code amongst us that we would never, ever dog each other in, except once, when my cousin did. And so you just don't do that. And so why shouldn't there be a code amongst Christians? Why shouldn't there be, I am suffering and I ask a saint to intercede for me, why shouldn't they help me? I'll give you guys an example of the disease, because I suffered from the disease myself. And this was a time when we were in Egypt. I was with the Buna Mark, these were four priests. And we're at the Pope's Wednesday meeting. Every week he does a meeting. And we were sitting at the front because we needed the Tergima translation. And he was starting to wrap up, but I didn't realize he was wrapping up because he was talking in Arabic. But everyone else did. And I saw crowds of people just get up and start running to the front. I didn't know what was happening. I thought, to be honest, someone was attacking him or something, because there was a lot of movement. And then I realized he quickly got up and stormed out, because he knows that he gets flooded by people as he leaves. And he was sitting on a table like this. And what people were rushing up to do, one, get his blessing, and two, they were rushing to put themselves on the table, and they were laying themselves on the table and putting their kids on the table and doing all these things. And, you know, I found it funny. I'll be honest, I found it funny. And I wanted to make fun of them. And I said to Buna Mark, and he wasn't Buna Mark at the time, I said, can you just take a video of me? I'm just going to do that. And he refused. Abuna refused. because he didn't suffer from the same disease that I had. He refused because he'd be making fun of them. These are people who, by their faith, their prayers will be answered. By their faith. Pope Shenouda has no idea what that person is coming to ask for when they put themselves on that table that he was doing a sermon from. He has no idea. He's not praying about it. But by their faith and the honesty of Pope Shenouda himself, their prayers are answered. And this is something that happens over and over again in the church. So it reflects our spiritual state and our understanding of heaven. If we have no understanding of heaven and the saints, we will automatically not believe, or at least be extremely reluctant to believe, not give it a go. Why? It makes no sense. I communicate directly to Christ. Yes, we do, but he's put a system of friends there. He's put a system of friends, as you said in the video. So, the only other thing I'll quickly mention before I finish is we're coming up to Mother's Day, so you can't talk about the saints without mentioning at least the Virgin Mary. This weekend is Mother's Day, and I think it's a good opportunity for us to treat the Virgin Mary as our mother. If we treat her as our mother, she will treat us like her son. We know that any mother, in spite of what we think and how tough we think we are, has the ear of their children. That we can't do anything if our mum insists that we don't. And there's many examples of that. Like if she told you to wear a jumper, you don't wear a jumper, you go outside, it's going to rain. That's a fact. It happens every single time. And same with Jesus. Jesus listens to his mother because she was his first disciple, his most honest disciple, his closest disciple. So he listens to his mother. And if we take her as our mother, then she will necessarily intercede for us. And she will treat us like her children. She'll take us on as her children, she'll adopt us, and she'll intercede for us. And the most important thing that the intercession of the saints does for us is it covers our sins. Their love for us and our love for them covers a multitude of our sins. So it's an opportunity, the idea of feasts and fasts and using the intercession of saints is an opportunity for us to understand heaven a little bit. Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord Paul, for those words. I think it was really interesting, the whole superstition. So it really hit close to home for me. Personally, I had an auntie that whenever an abuna came and used to eat, and we used to leave, used to have a little bit of food left in Spain, the auntie would go and eat that food. And I used to look like, I did the same thing the week after just because I was hungry, not because I was hungry. But yeah, it goes to show that she can see her faith and how much she believed in that intercession that priest. So, just introduce our next speaker, as you guys could have seen, that he's a Hollywood superstar. He starred in the last movies, Men in Black 1, Men in Black 2 as well, and he also starred in our same much production, so please welcome Brother Mark.
I'd first like to thank Brother Matthew and Brother Paul for the lovely words, and Brother Joseph for joining us as well. And like we've heard from Buddha Matthew and Buddha Paul, there is nothing, if we don't intercede, if we don't use the saints for the intercession, people are not going to go to hell because they're not using the saints. So these other Christians, for example, Buddha Matthew referred to, that don't have the intercession of saints, are they going to go to hell for it? Of course not. But it's their loss. It's their loss not to have friendship with the saints. There are many benefits to this friendship that Buddha Matthew and Paul referred to. So why miss out on the chance to have that relationship, to have that friendship? And there are just two things that complement exactly what Matthew and Paul said, that I'll just add to that. On the benefits of having the intercession of saints. The first is that it makes us aware of the spiritual dimension of this world. You know, often, as Abuna was referring to, that we feel sometimes that we're living in this one-story universe, that there's nothing else besides what's here. And it's very easy in day-to-day life to kind of forget that there is a spiritual world out there. But the intercession of saints helps us to realize that there is a spiritual reality out there. It's not just us here and an unknown, faraway God. But the saints make us feel that we're surrounded by the spiritual world. When I look around in my room, in my house, in my church, and I see these icons all around, I'm reminded that the church doesn't just exist here on earth, but also is extended into paradise for all those who departed and are in paradise. So it makes us feel that we belong to this spiritual world. We're not just here all alone. I'll tell you a story of my first experience with the concept of intercession of saints. I was in year 10 at the time, and we had a Sunday school lesson at church about this topic, intercession of saints. And our Sunday school teacher spoke to us about the importance of even choosing a particular saint to be an intercessor. And you develop a friendship with that saint, and as life goes on, you always have that saint as a friend. And he encouraged us to choose a saint. So I went off that week, and I made it my goal to pick a saint that would be my buddy. I thought through a different collection of saints, and one night in my room, I had a little icon of Pope Crawlers. I thought to myself, maybe I'll choose Pope Crawlers. You know, he's this very holy man, and he was a pope, and he's a man of prayer, and he's all these movement books that everyone speaks about. I thought, he's not really a saint yet. At that time, he wasn't a saint yet. So I wasn't sure. I thought, I'll sleep on it. I'll think about it. So I went to sleep. And then I had a dream. Pope Paulus came to my room, and he woke me up. He said, "Albert, get up." My name was Albert. "Get up. It's time to get up." So I got up and opened that bed, and then Pope Paulus prayed that bed together. It was the best prayer of my life. But we prayed that bed together, and then that was, he left. And eventually I woke up in the morning. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful dream that was to pray and be with Pope Paulus. And then I get a message on my phone saying, "Happy Feast of Pope Paulus. There is a Mass today at church at 3 p.m, like an afternoon Mass." And I thought, what's the chances that I would have a dream of Pope Paulus? And it's his feast that I had no idea about, and there's a Mass. So when my parents said, "Mum, that I after school I have to go to church for his Pope Paulus Mass, I think he's going to be my saint." And I came to church, and we had the Mass, and it came time for a procession, a good procession with the icon of Pope Paulus. And one of the deacons came to me and said, "Could you please carry the icon of Pope Paulus for the procession?" I thought, oof, this is getting, dream. His feast that I didn't know about, and I get to carry his icon in the procession. And so I thought, he's going to be my saint. The following year, I came again to that Mass. And then I was standing around, I hadn't thought much about it, and so a deacon came to me and said, "Could you please carry the icon for Paulus for the Mass, for the procession?" And I remembered what had happened the previous year. So 2 years in a row now, I get to carry the icon for Paulus. So it was locked in, he's now my official saint. Then the third year, I came to the Mass, and was here in the English church, and I decided that I was going to hide. And if the icon would come to me while I'm hidden, then it's for life. So I actually went and I stood in that little altar bit, in that up area, in there, and the icon was here. And I kind of was peeking out to see what would happen. And this deacon goes, grabs the icon, walks around, comes to me, "Could you just carry this icon for me?" And then it happened again, but those 3 years in a row really made me feel that it is a spiritual world out there. It's not just about us choosing a saint, but the saint, in fact, can choose us as well. So it is a two-way relationship. We live in a world where there are saints around us, saints praying for us. They are for us a role model. The first is that it makes us realize that there's a spiritual role. The second benefit of intercession of saints is that we get help. We get help when we're in need from them, because they're praying for us, they're interceding for us in a place that is so close to God. You know that the Protestant churches, they don't agree in intercession of saints, but they love the concept of praying for each other. So if you go to a Protestant brother and say to him, "Hey, Tom, please pray for me," he'll say, "Yeah, sure, no, I'll pray for you." And he'll go home and pray for you all week. But why can't I extend that request to somebody who has passed away in heaven? Is that person dead? Yes, physically, spiritually, no. Very paradox. So if I can ask a fellow human who's still in the flesh to pray for me, why would I not be then able to ask a saint who's in paradise also to pray for me? We are one church. They are still alive. They're even more alive than us because they're not bound by the body. They're even closer to Christ. So their prayers are powerful. And as it says in the book of James, the prayer of a righteous man avails much. They are righteous, and they have proven to be righteous, and the church has declared them as righteous. So their prayers avail much. Why would I miss out on that chance to have a connection in heaven? It's all about who you know, not what you know. And it was the same in the spiritual life. I'll just tell you a final little story about St. Mark, since it's his feast. We started applying for a few grants for our church. So, you know, we've got a grant to make renovation in our hall, renovation in our bookshop. And the first time that I went to apply for a grant, we were applying for a grant for our bookshop, and it was a grant that you would specify the amount, but it was also available to you what previous years, what grants were accepted. So I had a look at the previous year grants that were accepted, and they were all around 2,000, 3,000, 5,000, maximum $10,000 grants. And if you put in a submission that's too high, then your chances decrease because they don't want to approve big amounts. And I thought, let's just go high. I'll apply for $35,000. And we applied for $35,000. And then I found that the person who's making the decision for the grant, he's an MP in Rockdale area, so I managed to a connection to set up a coffee between me and this guy and another guy. And I thought I'd take with me a printout of our physical application, so when I talked about it, I could hand it to him. And when I printed it out, I found that in the front page, in this big box, it says the amount they're asking for, $35,000. I thought this guy's going to freak out and he says $35,000. So I went to Officeworks and I bought like this nice folder that covers the front page. I did it all up in the folder. And then I thought, but when he opens the front page, he's going to see $35,000 and he's going to say, no, it's too much. So I went and got an icon of St. Mark and I put it over the front page. So you open the folder and you see St. Mark. And it covers $35,000. So I sat with the man, we're having a coffee, and we spoke about the grant. He said, so how much are you asking for? I said, oh, it's all here. So he opens the front cover from Officeworks, and then he sees St. Mark. He says, what's this? I said, oh, it's St. Mark. It's actually the patron saint of our church, and he's an amazing saint, and he came to Alexandria where there was no Christianity at all. He preached Christianity in Egypt, he converted all of Egypt, and he's just such an amazing. Oh, look, there's a lion, you see the lion in that icon? Actually, that lion's, I told the lion story of him and his dad. Oh, and see that tower in the background? That tower is the light house of Alexandria, and it represents that he was preaching Alexandria. And we got talking about St. Mark. And then he said, oh, St. Mark's Church, you've got a priest there called Father Jonathan? I said, yeah, we do. He said, you know, I hit his car 10 years ago, and he never made me pay for it. I was like, wow, it's amazing. You know, and he only can pay for it now. and I said, look, I've got to get going, so I've got next meeting, so look, I'll sign it off for you, then I'll put it again for you. I said, thank you very much. He agreed to the grant before he knew there was $35,000. And he approved that, we got the money, did the renovation of the bookshop. So this is a little example of how St. Mark could work. That St. Mark provided a distraction for him for that amount. There is so much to benefit from the saints. And it would be our loss if we were to not develop friendships with the saints. Again, we want to thank the fathers that have joined us for really blessing us and all the youth that have come. We've really lit up our church. So thank you very much. Happy Feast of St. Mark. And may you always inspire us in our life. You know, as Buddha Matthew mentioned, that St. Paul when he was in a bit of trouble, he asked one person. He said, "Bring Mark to me, for he's useful to me in the ministry." In one, the greatest evangelist in the world, St. Paul, the greatest missionary, when he needed one person, he said, "Bring Mark to me, for he's useful to me in the ministry." And it is the same prayer that we all pray tonight, that God bring Mark to us, bring St. Mark to us, that he would inspire us, that he would bless our church, and that he would bless all the services, especially the Coptic Church, which he himself founded. And we'll give it to God there. Thank you.
Thank you, Wollamar, for those very beautiful words. I think next time I go to my dad to ask for money, I'll take St. Mark with me. See if it works second time around. Again, we'd like to thank all the fathers that came and all the churches that came and blessed us with this fellowship and this beautiful meeting. Hopefully we can go home and take the words of the fathers and really apply it in our lives. Don't leave straight away. Outside we have a lot of food.